What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
It's a juggling act, right? Because, like, how do you balance all three?
I think this is a lifetime thing, right? And it all comes down to...
Amir.
Ooh, what?
Do you remember?
Oh, are you actually sorry? 21st night of September. And we only know that much of lyrics.
While we're chasing the clouds away.
It's not even the 21st of September.
It's the 22nd.
It's the first day of fall. That's what it is. Welcome it back is. To the Cousin
Connection podcast.
Are we actually going to start with that intro?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
If you guys are wondering why I'm in incognito mode, it's because your girl is dying from the... I didn't get COVID.
Anyone who's listening to the audio, she currently has a mask on. This is her gateway into becoming a niqabi. That's what it is.
I'm trying to, like, you know, practice covering half my face. Mm-hmm. Inshallah.
She's just seeing how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
You know what? Actually, I'm surprised how many people are still wearing masks to this day.
Yeah, a lot of people do wear the mask.
Sometimes,
still.
Yeah, like, it depends on who's wearing it that I'm more skeptical.
Why?
This is going to be kind of racist.
I already know what you're going to say, but...
But if I see a dude in a Nike Tech fleece... Doesn't matter what he looks like. If he's in a Nike Tech fleece and wearing a black mask, immediately I'm like...
What's wrong with the Nike Tech fleece?
The Nike Tech fleece with the Jordan... What do they call it? The
Black Air Forces?
The Black Air Forces and the black mask combo. Like, well, just get away from that area. Get away from that situation. Nothing good is going to come out of it.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, honestly. It's like, what... You... Those...
I'm
going to get in trouble over saying, I know, because I'm not saying a specific race, but people might imply that from what I'm saying, but it could be anyone. Anyone wearing a Nike Tech fleece with a black mask and black Air Forces, even white Air Forces, you know, kind of on the fence there. Mm. Like, I'm already, like, kind of, you know, keeping an eye on you at least, right?
Because I just felt like the black one matched my fit today, but... That's why I wore it, and I didn't want to infect you.
You're a civilian. It's okay.
Yeah, I was thinking ahead, and I also didn't want to, like, cough onto, like, this is my personal mic.
Yeah.
If you're wondering how we know, because we have four of them, right?
Yeah.
I have makeup all over There's mine. Like, so.
It's red. It's basically, the camera doesn't catch it,
actually,
but.
Actually, did you clean it?
Maybe you're not using yours today.
Yeah, I don't know if this is mine.
I might have. There was a couple of times where I kind of, like, swapped things around.
Yeah, so but.
Am I using yours? No, okay, we're good. I was just checking.
But just I was making just, sure. Future me is thinking ahead, and I don't want to infect this mic so that I continue to get.
I can even hear the congestion in your voice.
You can hear it?
And I was sick too. Like, I wasn't, bro.
Really?
Where, you know, where you're like, you're like, damn, man, I know it's going to get worse, right?
Yeah.
But then the next day, like, I just took a little bit of medicine. I ate a few oranges. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, maybe it's anecdotal, but I feel like that always works for me. And the next day I woke up, I didn't feel like fully back to normal, but I didn't feel worse than I did the night before. So I was like, okay, it must be working out. You know, I didn't what I normally do. And by today I was like feeling just fine.
That's such an Amir thing to do. I just ate a couple oranges.
But honestly, to talk about my more recent things going on, like, I feel like I've been getting back into my health bag because since I got injured like 3 months ago now, it was like literally a month before my nikah, and like because of the build up to the nikah and like there's I think the proposal in that time and all the stuff going on post nikah, like having to move into a new apartment, looking for apartments, like that takes up so much time. Like, my routine was thrown almost completely out at that point.
Yeah.
And I wasn't progressing as much in the gym as I used to. But now, like, you know, I mentioned my wife left last week. So I was kind of able to get back into that normal routine, but which allowed me to focus more on, like, my health, like preparing my meals ahead of time, going to the gym at this specific time and getting pretty much all those things done.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that, you know, my wife is holding me back. I'm just I know she's going to be listening to this. But, like, it definitely at least allowed me to reset a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, now, temporarily, right?
No, but then now, like, when she does come back, I will, because not as many things might be going on at once, it'll be easier to balance. Because there was so much that we had to balance. Like, it's summer, right? Summer, there's a lot of things going on.
Mm.
Like, a lot of times, like, in the winter, it allows you to focus
People
more on yourself.
Leave you alone a little bit.
Yeah, and it allows you to focus more on your personal growth, right? And there's, like, a topic I wanted to bring up, but, like, I still need to think about it more, about, like, balancing the mind, body, and spirit.
Mm.
Yeah, mind, body, and spirit. And how in current society there's, like, a focus more on mind versus spirit and body. And, like,
they're all kind of interconnected.
They are all interconnected. But because there's more of a focus on mind these days and, like, you know, really pushing ways to improve your mental health.
Yeah.
But not emphasizing the fact that it's equal amount of physical health or not body and spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
It can throw things out of balance, and then people start to, other issues start to crop up. One second, my mom's like,
I know.
What is she doing?
She's on the phone.
Is she on the phone?
And I'm just laughing because
it literally sounds like she's screaming bloody murder on the phone right now.
She is so loud.
Guys, I don't know if
I'm like laughing.
It might have picked up on the mics. Yeah.
Like, you were saying something serious?
Yeah, and she's screaming.
Loud. Did I not close the basement door?
No, you'll hear her. I'm surprised the neighbors have not complained already.
Oh,
in the 20 plus years, 30 years at this point that we've been here, I'm surprised the neighbors have not complained once about my mom's, like, ear drum breaking level of tone when speaking on the phone.
It's just, like, something that runs in their family. You know, I love our mom's side so much, but our moms, when they are on the phone together, like, my mom's not, like, a loud person in her nature, but when they talk together or with their sisters or when they're physically together.
Oh, my. Get them all, when you have them all in a room, like.
Oh, my God. One
time, sounds like there's a party going on.
One time, I don't know why, I thought it was a good idea. But I was like, let me just call them all together on WhatsApp. We did a group call. And you just hear them saying hello for, like, 20 minutes. Hello! I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst mistake. Mm-hmm. And I literally could not stop laughing. My mom was, like, crying.
Oh, she was crying.
She's like, why'd you do this? But anyway, no, that's actually a really interesting topic.
Yeah.
I think, you know what it is? I think the focus on mental health really got, like, initiated or kickstarted during COVID.
It did, yeah.
And then it kind of just continued and people started to learn more about mental health. And then you started to hear, like, certain what's the word when, like, things have become popular? So people talk about it a lot online. What's that word?
Oh, it's a trend.
Yeah. Like those trending words, like, you know, people started to learn about mental health and they learn about narcissism. Mm-hmm. All we hear about online is
exactly,
narcissism.
Exactly. Yeah.
They hear about, like, oh, your cortisol levels are spiked. So
everyone turns out to be, like, a psychoanalyst professional after, like, one day of watching videos
on and then, like,
what a narcissist is.
But the scary thing is, like, even ADHD, people talk about it online and you don't really know someone's credentials. Like, I could just go on TikTok right now.
We do it too.
I mean, we do it too, but like, people will talk about it and they'll talk about, like, the like, what kind of symptoms to look for if you have ADHD. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I watch these videos, I'm like, yo, do I have it, low-key?
Yeah.
Do I have that?
That's more like confirmation bias, where, like, you are looking for that. So when you watch, when you find that one video that answers all those things for you or gives you all the answers that you were looking for, you're like, yeah, that's right, they're right. But you might watch, like, another video that says you might feel these things, but you really don't have ADHD. It's like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a huge, like, issue on the internet in general, where people look for the people that agree with them when mm-hmm. they have like an opinion on something.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for the truth of the the real information,
yeah.
they just look for whatever confirms their current thesis or whatever their opinion currently is.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about that before.
Yeah, I feel like we've probably covered it many times at this point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but like I think that because the three are so interconnected, mm-hmm. a lot of times, and I know we've talked about this before, especially when we focused our conversation around mental health. And mm-hmm. because we're Muslim, you know, I'm sure the Muslims that are listening to this, when we talk about things or when we spoke about things like depression, for example.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I'm out of breath because my air quality is
I can tell.
But, you know, when we've talked about like depression and like sometimes our parents would say like, oh, just like listen to Quran mm-hmm. or like it's because you're not praying or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? And while in the past we've mentioned that it feels like they're just dismissing what may actually be wrong. Like mm-hmm. maybe you really are depressed. It's not just related to that.
Yeah.
Like there is some truth to what they're saying. Mm-hmm.
Well,
kind
that's
of.
Why to go back to that Trinity.
Yeah.
I know that's a word.
The trifecta.
Kind of, the trifecta. That Trinity word is kind of a little thing. But so the balance of mind, body, and spirit.
Eating,
going to the gym, but eating properly as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then also making sure that your mental health is in check and like you're also prioritizing. They all have equal, what do you call it? They're all equal in their importance.
It's like
and if you give too much focus to one thing, it might be positive for the time being, but it'll start to affect the other two.
Exactly.
And same thing for whatever you do on the other two. If you start yeah. to if you focus too much on your physical,
yeah.
where you get super involved in every single calorie you're eating, prioritizing the gym over your personal life, right? Then that starts to affect your mental health and yeah. also your spiritual health, right? Because people yeah. start to believe, let's say an example of someone who works out too much, they think that, oh, I have spiritual wise, like they believe that, they forget that like maybe in Islam, we believe that Allah is the one who sustains us and allows us to be able to do these things. You forget that because you think, oh, I have the power now, right?
Yeah, you feel
I'm
invincible.
Stronger. You feel invincible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then mental health wise, you start focusing too much on how many calories you're eating in your body and you start to have body dysmorphia.
Mm-hmm.
And body dysmorphia is a huge thing, especially in the lifting community, right?
Yeah.
So that's where it starts to affect the other two. So if you don't have that balance, then you start to slowly see that occur. You don't see it initially,
mm-hmm.
but as it builds up,
yeah,
and as you fall more deeper and deeper into that, focusing onto that one section, you start to see the negative side effects of it or the cons.
But it's such a like, it's a juggling act, right? Because like, mm-hmm. how do you balance all three?
Well, I think this is a lifetime thing, right?
Yeah,
it's something that you do, and it all comes down to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like one thing. I recently saw in a video, there's like, you always see this, right? But there was, I get those videos where the girl or the guy, they do like a huge weight loss thing. Like they do that video where they
yeah.
show like before and the after.
Yeah.
And then they'll do like a follow up where people are like, oh, how'd you do this, girl? Like, show me. Or like the guy like, yo, what you do, man? What's going on? And a lot of the times the answer was, it was not focused. They didn't, initially they thought that it was all about motivation. But it was never about motivation. It's always about creating discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline is where it all stems from.
Yeah.
If you have discipline, it's a positive. Discipline is good for your mental health, for your physical health, and also for your spiritual health, right?
Well, discipline,
spiritually, discipline plays a big part. Everyone knows that.
Yeah,
Muslims know that.
You break your nafs, right? And we practice discipline
exactly.
every single year when we fast for Ramadan.
Exactly.
When you upkeep your five prayers. Like, I know for some people, they may say, like, making doing the five prayers is mm-hmm. easy if you're in an environment that supports that.
Yeah.
But we now know for those of us that live in the West,
mm-hmm.
our environments are not catered to Muslims.
Yeah. And they're not also catered to having discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually catered to convenience.
Yeah. Convenience. And like, what is that word when you can have everything you
indulgence. Yes,
exactly, right? Which is the opposite in a lot of cases of discipline. Opposite.
No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
I that's so friggin' true.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know what, I actually had this thought last night. I was I was like decluttering my closet, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize, like, you don't realize how much clothes you accumulate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I really am an overconsumer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so scary because you can just do like a quick 5-minute scroll on TikTok and you're always being sold something. Mm-hmm. Whether it's through sponsored content from influencers or an ad, an actual ad itself. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, and it's crazy because I was talking to your sister, like texting her about a specific purse. I'm like, I'm looking for like a new work bag. Mine's kind of falling apart. And I was asking her about one that I know she bought recently.
Yeah.
I'm not joking, Amir. Like 3 days after, like the next 3 days, all I saw were different videos on bag recommendations. Yep. What to wear to the office? What, this is my new office. And I'm like, yo, like.
I'm seeing it big time because, as you know, like in the new place that I'm putting together with my wife, you're searching for furniture all the time, right?
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm not trying to be, we're not trying to be as a couple, we're not trying to be so over consumers and like, you know, buying this fresh new products all the time. So we're spending a lot of time on Facebook Marketplace. But because of that, it's taking what we're searching for on Facebook Marketplace and trying to sell us like the new products, right? And even on Facebook Marketplace itself, I'll be looking at me like, oh, that looks nice on a table or whatever, or whatever we're looking for.
Yeah.
And
hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You realize it's not actually from Facebook Marketplace. It's an ad
for a different place. I've seen that too. Sometimes when I'm looking for things on there, I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool. And then I realize it's an ad.
Yeah. So, a lot, and like, that's how they get you. The algorithm has been algorithming.
Yeah, no, it really has. And it just like, that's when it hit me last night that I'm like, oh my God, we really are in a society now where everything is catered around indulgence. Like, truly. Like, if I'm hungry, I can literally get an app on my phone, Uber Eats, or what are the other ones called?
DoorDash.
DoorDash, and you know, what's the other one?
What's the other one again?
I don't know.
The orange one. Shows you how little we use them.
I actually have no idea. There's DoorDash.
Forgot it.
There's another one, isn't
there? Yeah, there is, and it's like bigger than that one in Canada. I forget what the word of it is too, or what the name of it is.
It's orange?
Yeah.
I've never seen an orange one.
Oh,
before.
My God. It's on my phone. What am I doing?
You have it?
I think so. Because sometimes what I'll do is I haven't done it in a while.
You compare prices?
Yeah, I'll compare
that
prices.
That is a different level of big backery, sir.
No, because that's the level of frugality?
Frugalness?
Frugalness.
No, wait. There's an orange app?
Yeah, let me find it here.
You're not talking about pizza, right?
No. Oh, skip the dishes.
Oh, yes! Yo, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's the one I've been using too. Kind of compare. But a lot of now, because of where I live too, like I'm trying to explore my neighborhood, so I haven't been using it.
Yeah.
And honestly, because I mentioned at the beginning how I'm trying to focus more on my my physical health as well, I've just been meal prepping all my stuff.
I actually deleted it.
Really?
Uber Eats, yeah.
Yeah, that's honestly like...
It's first of all, save me so much money.
Yeah. You don't realize how much you're spending. Like a $20 meal easily, quickly turns to $30.
100%.
Yeah.
With delivery, tip, all that other stuff. And I don't know if I told you, but I've been vegetarian for the past like...
You've been vegetarian?
Yeah.
For how long?
Since... Was it the end of July? So beginning of August. Yeah.
Right. You were literally, we were at a barbecue.
I know that. So I still work with Marwa and I was, I was telling her like, oh, I have my brother's barbecue.
Yeah.
She's like, one day a week you can have chicken or
fish.
Oh,
okay.
But 6 days out of the week, I'm vegetarian. I'm not vegan, vegetarian.
Are you taking your B12 vitamins?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. You know what's crazy though? At first I wasn't. And I did not realize how much it was going to affect me. And I'm like, yo, why do I feel like this?
Yep.
I started taking it life, like literally life changing.
Yeah. Didn't that exact thing happen to Marwa? Where she was, when she went vegan. I don't know if she, maybe she initially didn't take them. I just remember her mentioning it, but I don't know if it was because she didn't take it initially or because she started taking it immediately. But yeah, that was a huge, that's a huge thing. Like I've known that for a while now that whenever you're not consuming a lot of meat, B12 vitamins are important.
I didn't know. Like I don't know why I didn't even put, because I normally do take B12 even when I wasn't vegetarian. Mm-hmm. But now that I have been, like it really impacted me. And then I started taking the supplements again. I don't know how long I'm gonna do it for, but I've noticed like my skin has changed. I have lost weight, which is nice. And then right when I was like gonna get into lifting again, like just like doing weights, because all I've been doing is just getting steps in, which is why I wanted to also get the new
the Versa.
Yeah, not the Versa.
No,
the one that I told Fitbit. You wasn't. Yeah, the Fitbit.
Oh, that this is a Versa Fitbit. Oh. Versa.
You it's know what thing. I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So just through that, I'm like, okay, I'm seeing results, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But I also want to go back to getting my protein from
like actual meat.
Maybe just limit my.
Why not just take protein shakes?
I do take protein shakes.
Yeah, because protein shakes is still vegetarian.
Yeah, even though it's
just,
whey.
Huh? Yeah, whey is just the top of milk.
Oh.
Yeah. It's literally like that fat. You know when they have, when they boil the milk?
Yeah.
It's like the top layer of fat.
Yeah,
that forms on there, that's whey, and they dry that out, and that's how you get your protein.
I wish there was like a taste testing service for protein powders, because like sometimes I just blind buy.
You can get like the smaller ones first. Sometimes they have like the smaller, like the 2 pound, you know, so kind of like, but a lot of times like you can just go to the random people like, hey, what protein do you take? Can you give me some of that?
Really?
Huh? So you probably have people who take protein, no?
Actually,
yeah, it's probably not that.
Not really. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to do the Fairlife.
Yeah.
But then I wanted the powder just to give me a variety if I wanted to, like, incorporate it into oats or something or yogurt. So I went back to the powder that I used to use, like, that I normally use. And I got the...
Which?
The Reese's flavor.
You told me about that one last time, right?
It's not bad. It's just like, I'm like...
You got sick of it over time,
yeah.
Right? That's why I tell people, like...
Milk chocolate, right?
Unless you're going to get the smaller ones. You can get smaller, so you try for a little bit.
Yeah.
But always just stick with the basics, either vanilla or chocolate, because
you
never really get sick of vanilla or chocolate.
That's true. And
you
if
get
I
sick
really
of, like, flavors that, like, are unique or, like, you know, you want every once in a while.
Like, I'll before this, too, I effed up big time. I got... Yeah. It was, like, maple brown sugar.
Oh, my God. Did you even finish that one?
Forcefully.
See?
Like, I was, like, gagging by the end of it. So bad.
Yeah, that's why I, for literally, like, 10 years now, I've just been getting chocolate.
I know, and I've had chocolate, but it's so good. I don't get sick of it if I really want the
then
peanut
why'd you
butter.
Go with something else?
I don't know. I was just like, oh, let me just mix it up
that's
a little bit.
That's the consumer in you.
I know. Listen, guys, I think way back when we talked about overconsumption, I am the queen.
Mm-hmm.
I am truly... As they say, the slave to consumerism.
Yeah, like, the big part
I
of that.
I get caught in that.
Yeah, the big part of that is like limiting, of course, social media.
Yeah.
Like, you know, getting in, doing your work and getting out or whatever you're doing on social media at the time. Because, yeah, it can really like start to, even for me, like as I've been getting back into my health bag, I've noticed I've been spending a lot less. I don't already spend a lot of time on social media to begin with, but I'm spending even less time now, right?
Mm.
To the point where. I literally was like, you know what? Maybe I should start using it more.
Yeah.
I filmed a whole like workout for once because now in the new condo that I'm staying in, they have everything that I need. So I can
do
a whole workout.
That?
Yeah, I got really lucky with that. Like they have barbells, dumbbells, everything. Like dumbbells don't go up to the highest weights that I can do, but they go high enough to where I can modify my workouts to make it work. And that allows me to feel more comfortable filming in that place, especially because it's empty half the time. And I did that. And then I was like, do I really want to like post this all on social media? Because it's not about posting it on social media. It's the having to like keep the engagement up and doing all. I'm like, I don't know if I can really do this, man. It's a lot of people don't realize. I know it sounds like first world problems and it is first world problems, but it's a lot of work to keep up some type of engagement on your social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really bad at that. So, but, you know, the positive of that is that, like, you know, my mental health has been pretty good. Yeah. So, overall, I don't know if we're going to get back to it or if we want to get back to it. But, yeah, mind, body, and spirit. I don't know. My mouth is, like, really... Yeah, like caught mouth today. Mind, body, and spirit is like super important, and I want to find a way to like keep emphasizing that. Maybe that could be my shtick online, where I focus and I tell people to like focus on getting that balance and being more self-aware enough to be able to understand when that balance is kind of
shifted. Yeah, I think. Sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say, like, even just dividing up your day into different sections, right? Like, yes, we go to work and or school, but and then you have your time that you use to work out, but then you also need to give yourself time to work on your mental health, and whether that's through journaling or you want to do something creative as like a detachment, like sometimes you just need a mental break from work or whatever your day-to-day routine is, and then, you know, your spiritual balance comes in through like prayer, you know, reading Quran, reading even not even just Quran but also religious texts, like attending listening to lectures that can also help fill up that spiritual cup too. So it's really just balancing it, right?
Yeah, and
easier said than done, of course, but
exactly, and doable. Especially these days with like how crazy everything is getting in society. I think it's time for people to start turning into more like personal growth and maybe learning to be more critical thinkers and finding out where their shortfalls are, because these days you can be swindled so easily and so quickly by someone who just speaks very confidently in something that they have, you realize later, or if you do realize later, that they really have no real credentials in speaking about.
All I'm saying
is maybe they do, but they are more focused on gaining a following than actually giving you the truth.
All I'm saying is, if you can confidently talk about something and you have no clue what you're talking about, I'll believe you. And I've tested it. I've tested it with my friends at work, because when you're talking to people that don't already know you, like if I come and try to tell you something, you can kind of read right through it. You know me well enough. But if I'm talking to someone who may not know me as well, and I'm just like, not necessarily lying to them, but if I'm telling them some BS, pretending like I know, like
this is someone that you're talking to that knows you or doesn't know you.
They're my coworkers. And so sometimes what we'll do, it's this really weird thing that we do, but like a topic will be thrown out there and then we'll all just elaborate on it. Even if we have nothing, we don't know what we're talking about. We'll just like randomly just go on a whole monologue about it.
Yeah.
And then we'll see who cracks first. And then I'll be like, wait, was any of that true? And they'll add, like, sometimes I'm like talking about something and I'm like, yeah, da, 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 da. And they're like, how do you know all that? I'm like, I don't, I just made that up.
Wait, you guys are purposely
yeah,
doing
it's
this?
A really, it's like an improv type. Yeah. It's so weird.
Hey,
I don't know.
It works on your good, it's like good for, you know, your creativity mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I think we like to do that sometimes. But yeah, like, so if someone's like, and you know, and they're like hesitant and they're not sure, then you're like, yeah, this person's bullshitting.
Yeah.
But if you're just confidently talking about how eggs are made.
Yeah. But that should also go, I don't know why there are all these lessons we learn as kids that no adult seems to apply into the future. Like the lesson of believe nothing that you hear and half of what you see. There's like a saying like that, right?
Yeah, let me see. Search that up. Believe nothing of what you hear and half of what you see. It was by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. So when I learned that as a child, I took it in. Oh shoot, sorry. I took it in, right? And there are only very few people that I will take like what they say for face value, and it depends on what topic they're speaking on, right? Like if it's something that I know that they're fully like read in and I trust that they wouldn't try and deceive me in it, I'll believe them in that. But those are very few and far very few people, like with like I can count them on my hands.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I will always be skeptical of what someone is saying. And I feel like that's something that's lost in society these days, where people are no longer skeptics.
So and you think they're more naive? You think they're more naive?
More naive in that, like, because I see it very easily with, like, you know, not to show, you know, throw them under the bus, but, you know, okay, I'll say with certain adults, right? When they're scrolling certain pages and they start to believe things immediately just because this person says, I'm a doctor, and you find out they're just a chiropractor giving you like medical information on like your nutrition. Mm-hmm. Like they're not even nutritionists, they're like chiropractic, but they're, because they can hold that doctor title, which doesn't, certain ideas about like chiropractors and doctors, whatever, you know, I don't want to get in trouble here. But yeah, so when you start to see that, you're like, you know, you should be more experienced. You should, you used to be the one who used to tell me to not believe what was said on the internet, but now you're believing everything on the internet. Like, how have the tables turned here so quickly? Right?
I know exactly what you mean. I think what are my thoughts on that?
Can I give you, okay, go ahead.
You know who really started all this?
Who?
It's freaking Dr. Oz.
Yeah, yeah.
He started it. Mm-hmm. Because
when people started putting out videos of like how much misinformation you put out
there. Yeah. Is he even a real doctor?
Yeah, he's a real doctor. Oh. He's an accomplished doctor. But I think the things that he was presenting on there a lot of times weren't even related to his field. Mm. And a lot of it was more like gimmicks, right? It was a lot of just information that there's very little evidence to support them. And like how the evidence was even, or that those studies were even conducted, a lot of times were like put into question. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Dr. Oz is, and then he later came out like, he came out to become a politician, and you can see at the end of the day, he was doing it all for money and fame.
He's a politician?
Yeah, he ran for, I think, New York governor.
What?
Yeah, it was either New York governor or like Senate, something like that. Something to do with New York, yeah. I think he had like a good chance. I'm not sure. I need to double check what the actual numbers broke down to. Mm. But he definitely ran. He wanted to become a politician. And he is a politician in a way. Wow. Right? So, and that was all off of the clout of a show where he was really just lying to people, right? But then again, you know, that kind of falls in line with him trying to be a politician, because, you know,
that's true. But that's where it started.
Yeah.
That's where her parents started to believe a random person through a screen that said they were a doctor.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, my dad would be like, Dr. Oz said, da da da. My mom, Dr. Oz said. I'm like, yo, who cares what Dr. Oz said?
Yeah.
Is he my doctor? No, he's not. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to listen to him.
So, and can I give you like a crazy example of why you should believe half of what you see and nothing that you hear? Have you heard of a guy named Nikocado Avocado?
Yeah.
So recently,
he lost a lot of weight.
No. That's the thing. So up until a few weeks ago, he was still posting videos where he was very heavy, overweight, right? And then randomly he posted a TikTok with him super skinny in a random field, jumping up and down, like moving his hands around. And then you realize that the reason he's doing this is to show that this is him now, and like it's not AI, right? And people are like, just yesterday, like you literally posted a recent video of you overweight. And then he started making this weird like Batman monologue of him saying, you know, I'm two steps ahead or whatever, that kind of thing. And it turned out that for the past 2 years, he's been on a weight loss journey. And what he did before he started that weight loss journey, he said he filmed 2 years worth of videos.
Are you kidding?
Ahead of time. Yeah.
How often is his upload?
I think it was like once a week? Monthly or every couple weeks. I'm like, I can't remember how often it was, but it was often enough to where he would have to have a huge backlog of videos to cover 2 years worth of videos. And he's making video like TikToks and YouTube videos, right? Crazy. So in the content, was keeping it, he was keeping it so consistent that he was still gaining a following from it. And there were actually still people out there who were critiquing his videos for being like a negative portrayal of like, you know, overconsumption. And there was still nothing wrong with what they were saying. It was still a negative portrayal of overconsumption, but at the same time, like, he was fooling them, because in the background he was actually losing that weight the whole time.
Crazy.
And like, it was very creepy what he was doing. And then even recently he came out with a video of him overweight again and saying, I can't believe you guys believe that.
What the hell? Actually
lost the weight, like, you know, check the back. And people were saying like, oh no, but we saw, like, you know, you were you know, in the field, or you were on the escalator, because he posted another video later and he's like, watch the background, see how it's edited, blah blah blah. But people are like, nah, like, we can clearly see this is from now. So now, like, there's some people who are skeptical, like, did he really lose the weight, like, was it before, after? But it shows you that, like, you can be deceived so easily on the internet, right? And the whole internet, all the, like, especially the reactors on YouTube who, like, react to these kind of videos and stuff, and commentators, they're like, ah, you got us, you know? Shout out to you. You actually got us on this, right? They actually gave him his props for it. But it just, it's a great example of how you can never believe what you see on the internet.
Because
it can, everything can be, what do you call it again? It can be presented in a way that, like, is not what reality, I forget how to say it. How would I say that? It can be manipulated. Yeah. So it can be manipulated to make it look like whatever the creator wants it to look like to you, right?
Yeah.
And they can make what seems like you're seeing it with your own eyes. It looks real, especially now with AI these days, right?
Yeah.
And you're still questioning whether or not it's real, which is a pro and a con on both sides, because now people can come out with evidence to support something, and the people on the other side can be like, oh no, you just made that up. It's fake. This is clearly edited, even though it's a real video. But like, the amount of steps you have to go through now to prove that even the video that people are watching with their own eyes is real, which goes to that whole saying again of believing half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. And you say vice versa. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a crazy story that I saw on the internet. And that was just the first thing, that a crazy thing on the internet that's recently been happening.
There's a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, I think I even wrote it down. Like, there's a list of things here. The next one is speaking to people's, like, gullibility on the internet now. Did you hear about the Chase Bank glitch?
No.
So apparently, people didn't know this, but there's something called check fraud, right? There's someone who showed a video where they're like, hey, if you go to the bank and you write a check for like a crazy amount of money, like $10,000, let's say a little more realistic, $10,000, right? And you cash that check in the Chase Bank, they will make that money available to you immediately before they process that check.
Why?
Because they assume that that check is real. But then if that check isn't real, it'll be denied and the money would be taken back, right?
What if someone withdraws?
People, well, that's the thing. People were putting in the checks, withdrawing the money immediately.
Mm-mm.
And then by the time they realized the check-in, they already had the money because they take it out in cash. But this is a thing that's been known by society for so long. But because the internet is a weird place where, like, you know, there are people who don't have that, like, first off, that common sense, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And also they don't know about that history. And maybe because, like, you know, the education system is also not the best, especially this is happening in America.
Mm-hmm.
So there are hundreds of people who are posting videos of themselves doing this, thinking that it's completely legal and fine.
What?
Yeah.
And what do you mean?
There's actually a girl right now on TikTok who's lawyering up to try and fight Chase Bank for this.
Why?
Because she's like, oh, no, this is like, I was totally fine. This I wasn't doing anything wrong, right?
She wrote a fake check and
yeah, and she did the, they called it the Chase Bank glitch, but really it's just check fraud. Yeah, and there are videos of these guys. I don't know why they did this, but instead of like investing or whatever, they took out that. Okay, then again, it kind of makes sense they did this, because to even fall for this in the first place it shows you don't really have that much common sense. They took out that money and immediately started like throwing the money in the air. They started going out and buying cars. They started buying like whatever they desired, essentially. Pure consumerism, essentially. And yeah, there's a lot of people now crying on the internet saying, I'm going to jail.
No shit, Sherlock. Exactly. Of course you're going to jail.
Yeah, there's a lot of people now who are currently about to serve time for this because they fell for essentially what is a prank or like someone who...
Hold on.
It's like that whole thing, like the sheep leading someone, the blind leading the blind, that kind of situation.
Yeah, but like the girl who's lawyering up,
mm-hmm.
she truly didn't know that this was illegal. And she thinks that she can actually have a defense.
Yeah, she thought she played this system.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so.
What?
That's another thing on the internet, man. It's just another example of how like the internet's like the Wild West now.
I can't help but
there's no like because there's no real regulation on the internet. They've tried, and like even the idea of proposing regulations for the internet is very controversial these days. But there needs to be some solution to this, whether it be by putting barriers on the internet itself or by finding ways to educate people better,
or maybe just having like a disclaimer or something.
Yeah, like maybe a solution would be to have a class dedicated to the internet. Like, remember how we used to have, what was that, civil class? What was that class we used to have?
Civics and careers?
Civics and careers.
Oh, and it teaches you, like,
and it teaches you, like, you know, your, how to be a productive person in society, essentially,
yes,
right? Like,
yeah,
how to make
a
resume and all those things.
Browse the internet safely.
Yeah, like, they should have courses. I feel like this might be a real solution and introduce as early as possible of how to safely browse the internet.
Yeah.
And how to and teaching people discernment on the internet, like, why, when you're seeing people doing this on the internet, why it's wrong. And I don't know, there must be something that can be done if people don't want regulation on the internet, because that can be very controversial and it can give power to people that we currently probably don't want to have that ability to control the internet. So a smarter way of doing that is by educating people, right?
Introducing
that education at an early enough age, because nowadays kids are, like, getting on the internet at, like, by the time they're able to even use their fingers, like, to scroll on a phone.
Yeah.
Which is, like, 4 or 5 years old nowadays. You see kids.
Younger than that,
who are already able to fully browse the internet and search for whatever they want, right? Without any real, like, regulation, unless you're staring at them, or at least you put some, like, blocks on the actual phone itself. But then kids are smart, man. They'll find ways to get around it.
I know.
So, yeah, I think maybe that might be a solution, just introducing courses on how to get around this, and not get around this, but be more safe on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something I thought about. But the Chase Bank glitch is a huge, big example.
That's
of
crazy.
People who weren't taught that discernment, or, like, between what is right and wrong, and why this is not good to do. So yeah, that was a funny thing that happened on the internet. I know a lot of these stories that I'm bringing up are a few weeks old, but, you know, it's been a busy few weeks, so I'm catching up now. And, you know, you haven't heard about it, so maybe
the
audience hasn't heard about it either. If you haven't, you know, there you go.
Exactly.
Okay, this is coming from my world. Okay. Actually, maybe I shouldn't mention this.
No, I care about your world.
Okay. It's more like politics and stuff.
Okay.
But it's, like, something that also plays into the whole, like, don't believe what you're hearing on the internet, and like, you don't know what their motivations are. Because recently there was a plot, or not a plot, it was exposed that there's a place called Tenet Media, which is, like, a conservative media platform, like, very, like, pro-Trump kind of platform, and, you know, talking about the conservative talking points that you normally hear. And it was exposed that Tenet Media was actually being paid $100,000 per video. Certain creators were being paid $100,000 per video.
Oh my God.
By the Russians to spread, like, anti-Ukraine, like, pro-Russian propaganda.
Who was it being served to?
What?
Americans?
Yeah, to Americans. They're Tenet Media. They're a YouTube channel. And they have, like, different, like, larger creators. Some of them aren't as large as they used to be, but they still, like, I think they, actually, someone was looking at the viewership of one of them, and one of the guys who was getting paid $100,000 per video sometimes, and it's like, it's not like it's clear that they're being pro-Russian, but it's like they're making their normal videos, but they're usually not going to speak bad about Russians and be more, like, pro, and, like, if anything about Russia and Ukraine comes up, they're gonna be more positive towards Russia than Ukraine. And except for one video, there's one creator who's, like, clearly saying, like, Ukraine is the enemy, Russia is in the right here. But, like, it was, like, full on, like, okay, this guy was, how, if it wasn't clear before, it's clear now that he was getting paid by them, right? Coming out saying, we didn't know about this is all from upper management kind of stuff, right? And one of the creators was actually getting, like, maybe, like, 1,000 views, less than 1,000 views per video, but he was also being paid $100,000 per video.
That's insane.
And people were like, and when the creators came out saying, oh, we didn't know, right, this is more from upper management, or, like, how did you not know? You were getting, like, abysmal views, yet you were still paying by sponsors, quote unquote sponsors, $100,000 per video. It doesn't add up, you know?
Yeah. So, they definitely knew.
Yeah. Just... At this point, people are like, you're either stupid or you didn't know. You were either stupid or you knew.
Yeah.
And people were kind of leaning more towards you actually knew what was going on here.
Yeah.
So that plays in more into, like, what I was saying before, where you should believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear, because this is part of the seeing, you're seeing it there, yet you don't know what their motivations are. You don't know what they're who they're getting paid by.
Exactly.
What they're paying, being paid to say and what not to say.
Yeah.
So that's why the internet, I'm saying, is like a Wild West. Like, there's no, you don't know what's going on in the back end. So it makes me more skeptical. And nowadays, like, there, even on the internet itself, there are very few people that I can trust that I have a really long history of watching. And like, the likelihood of them being compromised at this point is very low.
Yeah, and you know, I've noticed this. I can't remember what I was watching, but the art of product placement has improved. Like, it has changed so much. Like, you know, in the past, old movies, you would see product placement. It would be like, you know, the brand of the cup or whatever. It would be like very clearly right here. And it would be like, cheers. Mm-hmm. But now it could be like the most subtle thing ever where, like, I don't know, let's say we're sponsored by Lululemon. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, one day maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But, like, you'll just see, like, a little logo just, like, right here. Mm-hmm. Tiny little one. And it'll just say, like, sponsored.
It's not even, like, logos anymore. It could be how the place is furnished. Because now, especially after, like I mentioned, I was on Facebook Marketplace a lot, with the introduction of, like, Google Lens, a lot of times people, if they see a room in a TV show that they like, I hope that advertisers, or maybe, I don't know if advertisers have caught on to this, just by having your furniture there or, like, your lamp there, whatever you have there, see, people will take photos of the screen and Google Lens will identify what that is and find it for you online. So you don't even have to have your logo there anymore. It's just what they're wearing, essentially, right?
Yeah,
or what
what
they have around them, surrounding them. So product placement can be a lot more subtle these days, but have so much higher of an ROI just because of how integrated, like, things like Google Lens and technology like that has been used by society. But lastly, we can finally get to that point. I think we mentioned this a while ago about, you know, Sebri's favorite artist.
Sebri's lookalike. Have you ever done a side-by-side of the two of them?
I can't remember. We'll see. Do you have a photo of his graduation?
Oh my god, yeah, I could totally get you that, because he does. He's channeling him there.
But yeah, so, you know, the man himself, you know, Sean Combs, aka P. Diddy, aka Puff Daddy, aka Love.
Brother Love?
I think it was Brother Love or Love?
I think it was just Love,
wasn't it? Brother Love? I can't remember. He has finally been arrested. And the things that are coming out.
Crazy.
For what he's done, like, we saw the video. I think we spoke about that video, actually, specifically when you last brought him up, where he was, like, abusing Cassie and clear as day in the video. That came out, and that kind of was, like, opening the floodgates to all the other allegations coming out, right? Of, like, the weird things that he had people doing. They found out, like, he had 1,000 bottles of baby oil and, like, lube.
Yeah.
And we're like, who needs 1,000 bottles? But this guy, he apparently has a 50-foot bed.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
For doing all the things that he was accused of doing, of, like, trafficking.
The Diddy parties.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what I saw? I think it was yesterday.
Justin Bieber.
Oh. Justin Bieber I knew about.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of CEOs have been stepping down this week. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but that kind of, you know.
Because
makes you think.
You never know. Like, people are afraid now that with the trial coming up.
And the fact that he filmed everything.
He filmed a lot of things because he was blackmailing people. Yeah.
Well, that's a conspiracy, yeah.
That's the conspiracy. But I think a lot of people that are in places of power, whether celebrities, CEOs, politicians, etc., are trembling in their boots because they don't know what's going to come out. It's like the Epstein thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, and then it also came out that he was placed on suicide watch.
Just like Epstein. I'm just saying. Just like
Epstein was. And then we all know how that one ended. So.
Yeah, so I feel like I don't know how much more information is going to come out about it.
Do you think
because
people are going to watch this trial if it's made public, the same way that they did with Amber Heard and what's his face? Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp, yeah.
I'm going to call him Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, for a second I was like, is it?
But, like, you see how, like, everyone obsessively watched that? I feel like they're going to do the same for this if they have the... Do you think it'll be an open public trial?
It's very high profile, so I think they would make it public.
Yeah.
I feel like they would. Unless, like, even the people who are involved in, like, the legal... In the legal... case are like scared for repercussions, because they're saying like he was like mob level of dangerous, like, because I think there was that whole story of
remember Kid this Cudi. Is all alleged,
allegedly, yeah. There's that whole alleged story of Kid Cudi who had his car blown up,
right, allegedly,
and it came out that that was actually allegedly by Diddy. So there's the there's levels to this stuff. We don't know how high, how far it goes.
There was
but it goes far.
Like, there's Cassie's lawsuit that ended up getting settled outside of court.
Yeah.
And then there was that producer, I forgot his name, that sued him after.
Oh yeah, did that one get settled as well?
No.
Okay.
What was his name?
I don't know. His
producer sued Diddy. Oh my god, I can't spell. It's spelled Dodie.
Dodie?
Oh, Rodney Lil Rod Jones.
Lil Rod?
Yeah, or Rodney Jones.
What did he say? Name.
He was the music producer that...
Oh, he said that he made him do things, right? And he, like, abused him?
Trafficking, racketeer.
Yeah.
And SA.
Yeah, so he was doing stuff to... And it's not only to women. He was doing it to women and men. So this guy was... He felt like he was invincible, essentially, right? This is someone, to go back to that Trinity I was talking about earlier, who fell more into the body to satisfy his
desires?
Own desires over everything. His desire was controlled him to the point that it made him do things that nobody can even fathom doing themselves. That's because, like, you know, you just were fully consumed by it. Nothing is off the books, or nothing is
like
off the table.
Now they're bringing up like Tupac and Biggie's unaliving.
Yeah, people were like, yeah, that we've known that for years now.
Yeah, but they like for Tupac specifically, they, because there was a guy that came out and said like, oh, I did it.
Exactly.
And he said that Diddy paid him to do it. But the police basically said like, he's too powerful for us to even go against. But now.
Yeah, they can bring up anything.
Really. Now that they have him on, like, the thing with the
but
way that
they might not bring that up because of the amount of evidence may not be there. But like, a lot of times what they do is, because right now I think he's being charged with RICO charges, like racketeering. So that's huge. And especially if it's federally, because they say that usually whenever, how the legal system works, like whenever you're being charged federally, it means that they've done all the legwork ahead of time before they went after you, which means that they already know they have a good case against you before they've arrested you and put you behind bars and starting to try you. Because normally when it comes to like state arrest, they usually arrest you first and then build the evidence.
Got it.
Right? But federally, if you're, that's almost like a done deal, right? So it's going to be an interesting case to follow, see how much stuff comes out about it.
I know.
But everyone kind of knew that this was going to happen. It's just about a matter of when.
Yeah. everyone's saying Cat Williams, like,
it was right.
They're like, oh my God, someone protect him. Like,
yeah. But that's like, you know, stating the obvious. Like, the stuff that he was saying was stuff that people always knew, but he was just saying it out loud.
Yeah. That's very true, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, for him, there was nothing, maybe there was nothing that they had on him. And also, he's just a loose cannon to begin with, so he doesn't even understand what the repercussions might be, so he's less likely to hold back, because he's just that type of person.
I'm surprised he hasn't been attacked, I'll be honest with you, since that interview.
Yeah, because a lot of people, essentially people discredit him for the fact that he's a loose cannon and can be known to say a lot of, like, off-the-wall things. So
that
it's
may
like,
not be true?
Yeah, it's like that whole thing, like, if there's a crazy man on the streets and he says like 100 things and maybe one or two of those things are actually true, but because he's crazy and like 98% of the stuff he says is off the wall, you won't believe that 2% that might be true.
It's like Orlando Brown, you know, like he is on substances too. And if you've seen his interviews.
Yeah, you're less likely to be, even if he's saying the truth, like he says something that seems completely crazy, but it's actually true. You're still less likely to believe him, right?
I get you.
It's that same idea.
Man. R. Kelly better make some room for Diddy. That's crazy.
Isn't R. Kelly? He's in Detroit, no?
Is he?
Yeah, he's in Detroit, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah. But maybe he can get a transfer. I'm just saying, maybe.
I don't know, because I feel like I don't think Diddy's going to take the fall solely on his own.
Oh, no. Like, I think that's why they put him on suicide watch, right? Because it's less of protection for him. Maybe it is protection for him as well. Actually,
I'm sure they want to get
like
other people.
I feel like he's too much of a narcissist to actually do something like that.
Yeah.
But it's more to actually keep an eye on him at all times. Because I believe on Suicide Watch, there's always someone watching you. If you're in just a regular cell, like you can be left alone for however many hours before you, there's someone walking through and checking on you.
Mm.
Yeah. But they have a camera, I believe, inside. There's something like that.
Crazy. Mm.
Which makes the whole Epstein thing kind of even more sus. A little sussy, I'm just saying.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see how the case turns out for that. So, but before we end the episode, we're going to be covering a couple comments.
Yeah, you guys have been like just showing up and showing out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we really appreciate all of the support. We're at 7,400 subscribers on
YouTube.
YouTube now, which is crazy.
Almost about to hit 8,000 on Instagram. If you haven't followed on Instagram, make sure you follow there.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram. We're like 14,500 on TikTok, which is like crazy. Also,
what happened?
I have to address our TikTok.
Which TikTok?
The one that went viral.
Oh, the dance one?
Yeah. Oh, so God. I finally made, like, actually, it was his sister. She was like, you guys should do this TikTok trend. And I was like, I've been trying to get Amir to do it, but he doesn't want to do any dances. And so we somehow talked him into it. And honestly, I posted it not knowing. Like, it's really a hit or miss with TikTok, right? So, like, I honestly did not think this was going to go that viral.
Yeah.
So I posted it and I was like, okay, whatever. Like, it is what it is, you know? And then, like, a day later, it's like, you know, 50,000 views. I'm like, damn.
I was wondering. I was like, you said, like, it was at, like, 50,000 views or something like that. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, it's like, it only says like 12,000, but I think I was looking at the likes versus, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize the likes don't reflect the views as well, which makes sense now. But at first I was like, oh, what did she say? And then I saw the views and I was like, 300,000 or whatever.
It's like, not 527K.
I don't, she's trying to make me do more, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I literally just like the amount of confusion. First of all,
that was honestly the main reason, because people were confused on what the hell a milk sibling was.
Yeah, if you're not Muslim, maybe like a milk sibling isn't a common
term
that you know. So to clarify, for those of you that don't know, if you're new here,
we haven't clarified it enough.
If you're new here, hi, I'm Sada. This is Amir. We are first cousins. We're also siblings through breastfeeding. How, you may ask? Once upon a time, about 30-ish years ago.
When we were born a few months apart.
We're born a few months apart. September, November, okay? So, we were under the... I'm pretty sure we were under 1 year old.
Yeah. Living in the same building.
Living in the same apartments away from building. And so, whenever Amir's mom had appointments or my mom had appointments, they would drop one of us off at the other one's house. And so... at the time, pumping wasn't really a thing for our mom. So if the baby's hungry, they got to feed the baby. So they essentially became wet nurses for each other's nieces and nephews.
Exactly. And this is something that's been done for generations by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially for very close families.
Some people have actual wet nurses because maybe the biological mother is unable to breastfeed the child. And so in those cases, yeah, they hire a wet nurse. But for siblings who have babies around the same time, and maybe like one's a girl, one's a boy.
Yeah.
In Islam, although we're first cousins, Amir technically wouldn't have been my mahram.
Yeah.
Meaning we can't like touch skin to skin. He can't see my hair. I know y'all love this topic, but technically he would be considered a marriageable person to me.
Yeah.
That being said, because we were breastfed by our mothers, we became like siblings. So the same way that my brother is my mahram and his sister, he's her mahram. The same thing happened for the two of us. So a lot of people who watched this video were like, what? What do you mean? You're like, are you siblings? Some people were like, wait, so are you married? And I'm like,
what?
Where did you even get that from? Someone literally wrote. So they're like, oh, so are you guys married? And I was like, where did you get that?
It literally says siblings in the title.
And they're like, oh, because the page is Cousin Connection. I'm like, yeah, that's our podcast. That's literally our, like, it says Cousin Connection Podcast. And then another person.
It doesn't say
like,
Married Connection.
Someone was like, are your mom's co-parents?
What?
Yeah, I laughed. I was like, co-parents? How?
common sense is not common, guys.
Yeah, I realized.
Common sense is not common.
And then there was like the small handful that was like, do you mean breastfed? Because I put the caption says, when your moms are sisters and breastfeed both of you, so now you have a built-in cousin / sibling. So they're like, do you mean breastfed? Do they still breastfeed you now?
Fed would be ED and then feed would be EED?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I said it in present tense.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, do they still breastfeed you now? Whatever. And I'm like,
hey, you know what?
BFFR.
You know what? At the end of the day, it increases engagement and it gets more
people. Hence why I was like, you know what? Bring the hate on. Bring anything you guys want to comment.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of like TikTokers and people who already know the game purposely do certain things in their videos.
Rage bait?
Like rage bait.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing where someone posts a video and you immediately go to the comments. You immediately go to the comments because you know that there's something in that video.
Yeah.
Like that's not being addressed, and then, but it's going to be addressed in the comments.
You'll always see that one comment that says, oh, so I'm not alone in my thinking.
Exactly.
That's so true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. Maybe TikTok dances might be our calling.
I'm just saying, man.
I'm just saying. Clearly,
yeah, so leave it in the comments what you want us to do next on TikTok.
Yeah. What? You're down?
Oh, no. Not like an dance or something. Whatever. A trend. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay. Something else that's been left in the comments. I have someone here. Oh my God, their name is in Arabic. What it says? Alam Baj? What? Mm-hmm. No, it has a ba with an 8. With an 8 and then a jeem. Mm-hmm. What's an 8?
Let me see. 8? I don't know what that is. Is it Ghain?
Ghain? This person on YouTube from the last video, they wrote, can you guys share your experience both in elementary and high school, specifically for black Muslim kids who goes to public school? My kids are having a hard time here in Australia.
Oh, okay. Depends on where in Australia, I
yeah.
guess.
And one thing that I actually, when I saw this comment, made me think of is like, if I grew up as a kid in the area that I currently live, in like the south of that area, I feel like my experience might be very different than my experience here growing up in Scarborough, where it's a lot more multicultural. Because I used to think the whole city was multicultural, but it's really pockets.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, those pockets are more like in the mid to lower income areas.
Mm.
Right? Because the area that I'm in right now, it's like a mix of like mid, mm-hmm. mid in sometimes a little bit of lower, but more higher as well. And there, of course, like I mentioned, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, there's a lot less minorities in that area. So I feel like the schools represent that or reflect that. So there would probably be less kids that look like you. Because in elementary school specifically, I don't remember race ever being an issue. For me specifically, for me, race was never an issue because the area I was in, it was more ethnicity. For us, it was more ethnicity. That wasn't an issue, but it was something that was more addressed than our actual actual skin color, because there are a bunch of people who had the same skin color but different ethnicities or different backgrounds. Like South Asians, they have the same skin color.
Yeah.
So the way you identify yourself is by like, I'm from India, I'm from Sri Lanka, I'm from, my crew is like Ethiopians, Eritreans, right? Somalis. Mm-hmm. Actually, we didn't even have that many Somalis at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think we had one Somali, honestly, in our neighborhood or in my elementary school. And we didn't have any. And what else? Yeah, you have like your Asians, and that's how you identify each other, right? By your Chinese, whatever. So that never really became a thing until high school. And like high school, it wasn't addressed as much. Like it wasn't very apparent because I was still one of those like social butterflies where I'd go to different crews depending on my connection to something. So there was like a Muslim crew. There was I don't know why there was a lot of white kids that I hung out with because I was like into like Paramore and punk rock at the time. That was a time in my life. And then
I'm laughing because I did this.
You too, right? But that was a time in my life, okay?
Oh my God.
I hung out with them too. And then in my high school specifically, they had a corner they called like African Corner where all the black kids hung out. Mm-hmm. And like that corner like kind of led into the lunch area, and we had like a couple tables dedicated to us where we would just like hang out. People pay like quarters.
You guys had a cool name for it.
Like, it's like African Corner or something like that.
No.
I completely forget the name.
Your sister told me. It's called, like, was it? Maybe I forget the name.
It's literally been years since I've thought about it.
Like, Kafrika or something
like
that?
Yeah, it was something like that. Something like that. But there's that corner that, you know, all the Ethiopians and, like, Jamaicans, West African, Caribbeans, and in general, just black people all hung out, right? And because in Canada specifically, we don't have, like, African Canadians, and like we do
equivalent, yeah,
we do, but they're a lot more
it's more Caribbean blacks,
yeah, but like even the African Canadians, like when I'm talking like generationally, they're actually more assimilated into like Canadian culture, so they're more likely to hang out with, like, you know, their white counterparts or something like that, right? And that's just how it broke down. I don't remember if we had any. If we did, maybe it was like one or two, I can't remember actually at this point, but I'm pretty sure it was like 100% Caribbeans and Africans. That's it. So that was my experience there. But it was never really an issue. It wasn't like something that me personally, I ever saw or ever was confronted by.
I feel like I had the opposite.
Really?
Experience. Like when I, because remember, I didn't grow up in Scarborough at first. I was more so like still in Toronto.
Yeah.
And in school, I was like one of, like, maybe two black kids in my grade. And I remember, like, obviously at the time I was a kid, so I wasn't wearing hijab, but there was this one girl who, I can't remember what her ethnic background was. Maybe she was, like, Bengali or Pakistani. And she wore hijab. And this was, like, maybe, I think it was, like, second or third grade or something
Yeah, that's pretty early then.
Yeah, she was wearing it really young. And, you know, my mom at the time wore it. And one day she was like, oh, you should just, like, try wearing it. And so I think I did. And I remember showing up to school and all my friends were like, what are you trying to be like that girl? And I immediately was like, no, like, what do you mean? And I like quickly took it off.
Yeah.
And it was just so, I think for me, like I, when you're kids, I get, like, especially back then, like, obviously, I knew I was black. Like, I knew I was different. But I never stuck out because no one really focused on ethnicity. I do remember, though, this one day, I think it was, like, in grade 5 geography, you're, like, reading, you know, when you do, like, out loud reading?
Yeah.
And for some reason, in the textbook, it said Ethiopia is the poorest country in the world. But all the kids struggled to read it. And I remember this one kid, he's like, Ethiopia sounds like Fruitopia. And I was like, actually, it's Ethiopia. Get it right. And then everyone looks at me.
That's already in grade 2.
Everyone's like, how do you know? And I was like, because my parents are from there. And then everyone was like, oh my God, your parents are poor? And I was like, no. Obviously not. We live here. Like, yeah, they were born there, but like they moved here for, and I was just like trying so hard.
That's where the stereotypes start, man.
I know.
Everything is learned, okay? These kids learned from that book.
Well, it wasn't just the book. It was also like South Park really used to make fun of, like, those like cartoons. Yeah. So anyways, I was like heavily defending Ethiopia at the time. And this was actually right before I went as a 9-year-old. The same year, that grade 5 year, at the end of my grade 5 term, my parents took me to Ethiopia for like 3.5 months.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I vividly remember when the plane was landing and I was shook that I could see lights.
You fell for it.
I was like, oh, they have electricity here? And my dad looked
your
at
own,
me.
It be your own people, man.
My dad was like, he's like, please don't say that. Like, I genuinely, Amir, wallah, I was
Ashley
like,
flies in on a plane to the
country. Yeah, like I genuinely thought we were gonna land in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't say it was like self hatred. It was just a lot of ignorance. And then, you know, after we came back from Ethiopia, and I was more cultured. A couple years later, my parents decided to buy a house in Scarborough, and like deep in Scarborough.
Yeah.
Not going to say where, but deep in Scarborough, where the demographic in my new school, total opposite. To the point where me, an Ethiopian Canadian kid, had culture shock. Imagine I had culture shock. I went into my classroom, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, there's so many. Like, where are all the white kids?
Yeah.
Where are my whites and my Asians? Where are they at? So
did you feel like you lost that uniqueness?
Yeah, I felt like I blended in a little too much. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Because before, like, I was able to, not going to lie, I was a little bit of the popular crew.
Okay, you know? I see you.
But when I got to this school, mm-hmm. I was a nobody. I don't like this.
Yeah.
And it took me, you know, some time to form my own identity. I was only in that school for grade 6, 7, and like halfway through grade 6,
yeah,
7 and 8, mm-hmm. and then when I went to high school also in Scarborough,
yeah, which is a whole crazy thing too, man.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. my high school I feel like was predominantly Southeast Asian.
It was, yeah.
And so they had their cliques, and then anyone who wasn't Southeast Asian, you kind of had your group of friends. So like, yeah, did the black kids hang around each other? Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. I was also like a social butterfly, so yeah. I kind of moved around and just went wherever I wanted to. But I also had my cousins who went to school with me, mm-hmm. so we mostly sat together, like hung out together.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, if you're in a city where if you're a minority and you're having a hard time, especially for the woman who asked this question, and your kids are having a hard time in school, I think, you know, assuming that the kids are not mean, if the kids are mean, I would strongly suggest speaking to the parents, the teachers, to ensure that your child is safe. Mm-hmm. But if your child is just struggling with being different, I think you should celebrate the uniqueness that your child has, and remind them, you know, maybe it's making them do verbal affirmations every day, reminding them that they're strong and that they're special and they're unique. And, you know, maybe using that opportunity to educate their classmates, mm-hmm. On their uniqueness. I think now we're lucky that we're in a time where people are actually curious about other cultures.
Yeah.
Whereas back then, you know, try bringing Hulbat Marak to school. The kids will clown you so quick. I'm like, ew, what's that? Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Australia. I don't know what Australia's culture is, though, right? Like, I know that there's a lot more, of course, white people there. So is it? Yeah. Like, I feel like the population isn't as multicultural as Canada is.
I think it has its cities. Melbourne, for okay. sure, I would say.
Maybe it depends on which city she's yeah. messaging from.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, like, there's only so much advice we can give, because, like, we don't know what the current situation is over there, especially, like, the political climate. I know that now in a lot of European countries, the political climate can be very volatile because there are a lot more, like...
The radicalism that they
have. There's more radicalization going on, as we saw with what was happening with that mosque, where, like, the people were attacking the mosque in... I forget which city that was in England, but like now they feel like they have more power, or they feel more emboldened to do things just because of how crazy things have gotten and how people can be radicalized on the internet so easily now. So it might be just growing pains. Maybe they just need a couple years to adjust, or maybe a year to adjust. And then, you know, kids can be hard to warm up to. Maybe they're in new school. I'm not sure what this exact situation is, but things might turn out... you might be worried now, but things might turn out better than you currently believe them to be. So, yeah. Do you have another comment?
Someone said, welcome to CCP Hanan. This is back on the episode where Amir's wife was on two episodes ago.
Yeah, shout out to all the positive comments out there.
And someone said, well done, Sada, for moderating this. Why do I see you as a talk show host now?
Hey, technically, you know, podcast is a talk show. We've had guests on here, I guess. Maybe that means they don't need me. Are you guys saying?
No. Cousin Connection wouldn't be Cousin Connection without Amir. So don't even get that idea. Someone said, oh, I think we already addressed this one, though. Mm-hmm. The one that said, thank you guys for bringing up the topic of premarital counseling, because I never knew.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a thing.
That was actually something, I don't know if I mentioned that last week. Again, I keep saying that, but, you know, it's been a busy few weeks again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of people, even in real life, who said they watched the podcast and said they didn't know what premarital counseling was either. Oh my God.
Either.
They didn't know what premarital counseling was either. Okay, guys. Thank you again
for
watching this week's podcast.
They didn't know what premarital counseling was either.
If you,
don't
if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the channel.
No, don't end it here.
Why? Do you have another comment?
No, you don't. Don't be shy.
Like the video if you liked it. You know, we covered a lot of topics today. Inshallah, we'll come back with bigger and better topics next week. But until then, make sure to also follow us on all platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, and we'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.